often in our readings, we're offered two different readings, one from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament, and they often contrast as they do today, that it seems like there's almost two different gods. There's a God of the Old Testament, seems to get angry, upset, commands that they go conquer people, kill people, do things. And then there's the new God that we see in Jesus. There was actually in the early church some argument about that, and there was a thought by someone called Marcion who actually thought there was two gods and that we should, as Christians, throw out the Old Testament because it just seemed like they couldn't reconcile those two gods together. And yet, as we look at the combination of the Old and the New Testament, we see this sort of as a fulfillment, or more, perhaps a better word would be unfolding of our relationship with God. The entire story in the Bible is a story of God's virtual and sort of slow self-revelation to us, and it's about our understanding as it comes to maturity as an understanding of this offer. And if you look at the Old and the New Testament, it's not God that changes, it's us. You could say that our Bible is a history of the growth of our responses to the offer of love and union with our Creator. That as we evolved, as we were able to understand love, God revealed himself more and more to us. And it is hard to put ourselves often in the mindset and the life of what it was like to be a Hebrew 3,000 years ago or so. We are told that since recorded time, humanity has come to worship the powers that were out of their control. If it was raining, they thought the gods were being nice to them and their crops. And if it was a tornado, then God was being mean to them. Imagine us being transplanted out there, understanding that what it rains and it snows and whatever, and being told, oh no, that's the gods. The gods must be mad at us from what they did. We have been raised our entire life with understanding a personal God, one that was pretty much unknown to the Hebrew times. One we pray for, we pray to in our beds at night. Ones that we just know listen just to us as we talk to him. A God that we hear has counted the hairs on our head. But this has developed gradually, and our Bible is a history not only of God's slow revelation to us, but as I said, a growth in our understanding and being able to appreciate a personal God. God's first invitation to Abraham, his rededication to humanity in Noah, and his coming down in the burning bush to Moses, all document our growth as a people in our relationship and our ability to understand and love God. Back in the time of the Babylonian exile, which this first reading was predicting, we hear a God who's torn, saddened, a God who cared, a God who wanted to be involved not with worship and sacrifice, but with a loving relationship. A God who wished for the wellness and advancement of his people rather than waiting to demonstrate his power through punishment. It meant that that concept of God was actually going to be revealed through this suffering of the exile that the people were going to have. And in distress, and in our distress, that's what we often, where we often find a new and deeper meaning to comfort as we surrender our dependence and our fears to God. In a final act, when we were ready, God became man, became one of us. And as an additional offering, a making right, our intended participation with God, this is the way he wanted it always to be. God in Jesus makes an epic move, and it requires from us an epic response. It requires a change in our nature, an abandonment of our self-interest, a conversion of heart. It involves a death. This move toward God offers a paradox that can only be accepted with a change of heart. Where in the old, pain and suffering that we endured or they endured was thought as punishment, a consequence of angering the gods. Now, that same pain and suffering is an offering of our lives in sacrifice as Jesus offered his in sacrifice. And our trials, like Jesus, become redemptive. We are no longer given laws and statutes, but asked by Jesus, who says, "Do as I have done." This request, this asking, is a dynamic, organic thing, a living relationship. Decisions towards God are they're alive, they're daily, they're joys and sufferings, the same things we enjoy and suffer through in our human existence. And while the joys and sufferings are transient, living and dying are too, because it's all followed by a promised rebirth. I have died twice so far, once during my divorce, and once in the death of my wife. I have been given new life in my vocation as a priest. Perhaps that is how we should read the entire Bible, in light of the growth of our relationship with God, and also as a measure of movement towards what God has asked. Are you here following the laws of God as the people in Moses' time did? Or have you moved past that? Have you faced that part of you that resists God, accepted the sufferings in your life with a desire to only do God's will? What is the profit you have gained in a rich life here on earth, but you have been starved with what feeds your soul?